learning lab at WEAA 88.9 FM on the campus of Morgan State University, the School of Global Journalism and Communication presents the Morgan News Hour. Welcome to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA 88.9 FM. I'm Randy Reed, News Director.
I'm Demi Goff, co-host of the Morgan News Hour. Thanks for joining us.
President Biden outlines new COVID guidelines for the country and implements a new vaccination mandate for federal workers.
Baltimore County Executive announced a new vaccine mandate for county employees today.
A new report from Baltimore City School Staff Investigation Unit finds a disturbing new details of the operation at one of Baltimore City high schools.
The Maryland Department of Health updated COVID-19 numbers this morning. 907 new cases were reported in 24 hours. One patient has been released from the hospital. 816 people remain hospitalized due to COVID. Nine deaths have been reported. The state's positivity rate is 4.69%.
Baltimore County will now require all county employees to get a COVID vaccine. County Executive Johnny Osheski made the announcement earlier today, stating that the public health is a shared responsibility and the vaccine is the best tool in the ongoing fight against COVID-19. Employees who are not vaccinated will be required to be tested for COVID weekly. The new policy goes into effect October 15th. All Baltimore County residents are encouraged to take the proper precautions to reduce the spread of COVID-19. To find a COVID-19 vaccination clinic, visit baltimorecountymd.gov/vaccine.
President Joe Biden announced two new initiatives to try and get the spread of COVID under control. The move is to boost vaccinations and to curb the surging Delta variant that is killing thousands each week and jeopardizing the nation's economic recovery.
My job as president is to protect all Americans. So tonight, I'm announcing that the Department of Labor is developing an emergency rule to require all employers with 100 or more employees that together employ over 80 million workers to ensure their workforces are fully vaccinated or show a negative test at least once a week. Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America. My plan will extend the vaccination requirements that I previously issued in the healthcare field. Already, I've announced, we'll be requiring vaccinations at all nursing home workers who treat patients on Medicare and Medicaid because I have that federal authority. Tonight, I'm using that same authority to expand that to cover those who work in hospitals, home healthcare facilities, or other medical facilities. A total of 17 million healthcare workers. If you're seeking care at a health facility, you should be able to know that the people treating you are vaccinated. Simple, straightforward, period. Next, I will sign an executive order that will now require all executive branch federal employees to be vaccinated. All. And I've signed another executive order that will require federal contractors to do the same. If you want to work with the federal government and do business with us, get vaccinated. If you want to do business with the federal government, vaccinate your workforce. And tonight, I'm removing one of the last remaining obstacles that make it difficult for you to get vaccinated. The Department of Labor will require employers with 100 or more workers to give those workers paid time off to get vaccinated. No one should lose pay in order to get vaccinated or take a loved one to get vaccinated. Today, in total, the vaccine requirements in my plan will affect about 100 million Americans, two-thirds of all workers. And for other sectors, I issue this appeal to those of you running large entertainment venues, from sports arenas to concert venues to movie theaters. Please require folks to get vaccinated or show a negative test as a condition of entry. And to the nation's family physicians, pediatricians, GPs, general practitioners, you're the most trusted medical voice to your patients. You may be the one person who can get someone to change their mind about being vaccinated. Tonight, I'm asking each of you to reach out to your unvaccinated patients over the next 2 weeks and make a personal appeal to them to get the shot. America needs your personal involvement in this critical effort. My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to...
We're joined in the studio by student reporter Rochelle Keaton to tell us more about the upcoming flu season. Rochelle?
Health officials urge people to get their flu shots as this flu season is expected to be severe. Experts warn that there may be three times as many hospitalizations as there were in the previous flu season. There is a big fear that critical cases of the flu could further crowd hospitals, which are already occupied due to the surge in Delta variant cases. Children are expected to be hit the hardest as they begin to resume normal instruction in school. Researchers say it is hard to predict how hard the virus will hit, but it is expected to be serious because many people haven't been able to build up their natural immune defenses while working from home and avoiding strangers. Dr. Mark Roberts from the University of Pittsburgh explains experts' predictions.
And we've done some work looking at the potential impact of the rather dramatic decrease in influenza last season that occurred because of the COVID-19 mitigation strategies, closing schools, wearing masks, social distancing. The decrease in amount of influenza that existed last season has the potential to have a rebound this coming season. It turns out that much of the immunity that we have as a population occurs because people in the population had influenza last year, and if they get a similar strain circulating, they won't get influenza the second year. But there was a dramatic decrease in the number of influenza cases last season because of all the protection measures that we did to prevent COVID. And that has the potential to dramatically increase the cases this coming season.
Here are some tips to prevent catching or spreading the flu. Anyone 6 months or older should get the flu shot. Focus on healthy eating. Keep COVID safe protocols and prioritize sleep.
Thank you, Rochelle. An explosive new report came out this week about the Augusta Fells High School and their principal and teachers. The report was conducted by Baltimore City Schools Staff Investigation Unit. They found three key findings from their investigation. One, school administrators at Augusta Fells improperly changed student grades and pressured teachers to provide students with grades that they did not earn. Two, the Augusta Fells students were scheduled into classes that did not exist or that they did not attend when they should have been withdrawn due to lack of attendance. Finally, Augusta Fells operated credit recovery programs, including evening and twilight and summer school programs that did not comply with city schools' requirement. To see the full copy of the report, go to weaa.org. The Morgan News Hour will continue to follow this story.
Now, let's take a look at the news happening around our region.
FEMA is heading out to Anne Arundel and Cecil counties next week to assess damages from the remnants of Ida. The Emergency Management Agency will be helping to determine if Maryland should seek federal assistance for storm recovery. Governor Hogan will have the final say in whether the state wants to make a formal request to the White House for help. And Towson University is disputing recent claims made by the university's police union in response to the campus recent shooting. The university is calling the claim officers were told to take no action against an unsanctioned event the night of the shooting. Reckless, misleading, and categorically false. Hundreds of people have gathered that night to the unsponsored campus event, which ended with three people being shot, including the accused gunman. The police union has accused the university of using officer response as a scapegoat for their failure of leadership. I'm David Lentz, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
Now let's take a look at your weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy during the early evening,
then gradual clearing with a low around 59. Friday, sunny with a high near 77. Northwest wind about 8 to 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Friday night, clear with a low around 58. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, clear with a low around 64. Sunday, sunny with a high near 87. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 68. Monday, sunny with a high near 90. And that's the look at your weather around the WEAA listening area.
You're listening to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA. Stay with us.
Welcome back to the Morgan News Hour here on WEAA. Morgan State University held its matriculation convocation this morning for freshmen and sophomores. The event is normally reserved for freshmen. However, sophomores were included because the special occasion was not held last year due to COVID restrictions. President Dr. David Wilson was the keynote speaker. Here's about 4 minutes from his speech today.
This year's matriculation convocation and freshman class are quite distinctive. This is the first time in the 154-year history of this institution where we are reuniting after having been apart for so long. Under regular circumstances, we are only apart from one another during the summer recess. But on today, we have gathered for really the first in-person ritualistic ceremony since we abruptly left this campus in March of 2020. So on this occasion, I will refrain from delivering the customary matriculation convocation address that many of you have heard from me over the years, for indeed, the times in which we are now living are far, far from customary. In the last 19 months, we have faced some of the most challenging times the human race has ever encountered. And we're not done yet. Class of 2024 and class of 2025, your young eyes have seen so much, much, much too much. I know they have seen much more than they were prepared to see at this early stage in your lives. When the books are written on this era in our history, I think they will call this period one that utterly tested our ability as human beings to live in a civilized society. I think it will be a period that has tested our ability to believe in science. I think it will be written about as a period that has really tested us to uphold democratic principles and ideals, the foundation upon which this country was erected. I think it will be a period written about that will talk about how we have struggled to reckon with the sins of racism and its lingering negative effects that has led to so much inequity and social and economic inequality. I think history will call this period where America and the majority of the world have not, if you will, come up to the plate and hit a home run. I think the period would call what America and the vast majority of the world are doing as one where we are not paying adequate attention to climate change, that we are not paying adequate attention to the proliferation of unjust laws from the state level all the way to the Supreme Court. I think this era will stand alone as the most pivotal moment in the history of the human race. But I'm here this morning to tell you that you should feel extremely proud today, for you have looked unimaginable, destructive, and evil forces straight in the eyes, and you were not deterred from your goal of pursuing your dreams and ultimately matriculating here at Morgan State University. Your Morgan family is so proud of you, and let your presence here today serve as a reminder of the fortitude and the resolve that you possess that should forever equip you to achieve in the midst of any adversity.
Faculty and staff have concerns about the university's return to work policy this school year. Student reporter Kendra Pugh has more.
Morgan State's professors gives their thoughts about how they feel about being back on campus, the university's COVID protocols, and technology issues. Morgan started in-person classes 3 weeks ago. On the first days of classes, Morgan State's philosophy and religious studies professor, Dr. Joanna Crosby, noticed her classroom was switched to a smaller classroom with less technology.
Like last week, the classrooms disappeared because all of a sudden they realized they had to put flex sections in rooms that could be flex. Yeah. So classrooms changed. A lot of it came back in time. I think it was done in time for the first class on Monday. But, you know, I had faculty and students emailing me all weekend going, where's my class?
Dean of Graduate Studies, Dr. Mark Garrison, says that the graduate building is in need of some repairs. Only 3 faculty members are allowed in the graduate building at a time. The dean says that the faculty brings in their own technology.
And purchased for the first time, and that's kind of a hard thing, training somebody to do stuff when you're using Zoom, and sometimes it's easier to show them something by hand. So those are some of the things that have been a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, been good things. The problems are, you know, when people's technology doesn't work.
Dr. Garrison doesn't know when these repairs will be fixed. Math professor Dr. Christian Anderson Sr. said that the university could do a better job with the COVID reporting protocols. For people who don't have symptoms, there need to be a clear guidelines for students.
I think that's what the university can do a better job at, and really kind of communicating what the protocols are. But the challenge of it is not necessarily the university's fault, is that the protocols have been changing all of the time. Mm-hmm. So even when you go back maybe like 7-8 months early into the pandemic, protocols were one way, they've gotten more data, and now the protocols are something different. So the more they learn about the disease, you know, the protocols are going to change.
Math professor Dr. Jonathan Farley, who teaches online, doesn't feel comfortable with being in person because he has elderly family members that he doesn't want to put at risk. Farley says that he is grateful that Morgan is given the option to be fully online. I am Kendra Pugh, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
The university removed shuttle buses, leaving students to find alternative ways to arrive on campus. Student reporter Jasmine Johnson sits down with Douglas Gwynn, Interim Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, to learn more about this incident.
With the school year in full swing, students have had to make sure they are attending their in-person classes on time. While the school year has been great so far for some students, others who live off campus in Wellington Gate apartments have to spend money on transportation services like Uber or Lyft to come to campus for classes. Wellington Gate Apartments is one of the off-campus apartments that several Morgan students reside. Prior to the COVID-19 shutdown, there was a shuttle that transported students from campus to the complex and vice versa. Currently, there is not a shuttle service for those students due to the university no longer partnering with the complex.
The properties are where we have university managed housing, that we have some level of involvement. The Wellington we had, as well as the Kensington, we had a relationship, I believe it was back in 1819, but we no longer have an agreement in terms of housing spaces with those properties.
There are currently 4 shuttles that transport students from off-campus properties to campus, including HH Midtown, Delta Hotel, Altus, and Morgan View. Also, there is an app called Rider that allows students to track the location of the shuttles. I'm Jasmine Johnson for the Morgan News Hour.
You're listening to the number one streaming station in Baltimore, WEAA. Stay with us here on the Morgan News Hour. We'll be right back.
Now let's take a look at your weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing with a low around 59. Friday, sunny with a high near 77. Northwest wind about 8 to 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Friday night, clear with a low around 58. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, clear with a low around 64. Sunday, sunny with a high near 87. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 68. Monday, sunny with a high near 90. And that's the look at your weather around the WEAA listening area.
Attorney General Merrick Garland filed a lawsuit against the state of Texas. American Urban Radio Network's Ebony McMorris reports.
AURN News.
I'm Ebony McMorris.
After a careful assessment of the facts and the law, the Justice Department has filed a lawsuit against the state of Texas.
That is Attorney General Merrick Garland announcing a lawsuit against Texas over its new abortion law.
SB 8 bans nearly all abortions in the state after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Before many women even know they are pregnant and months before a pregnancy is viable. The act is clearly unconstitutional under long-standing Supreme Court precedent.
He criticized the law because it also rewards people who give information on people who aid, abet, and assist in helping people get abortions, up to $10,000. He wants the law to end before it's replicated.
If it prevails, it may become a model for action in other areas by other states and with respect to other constitutional rights and judicial precedents.
For AURN News, I'm Ebony McMorris.
In our weekly educational eye-opener, Professor Dawkins from Morgan State University discusses his expectation from students upon the return to full in-person classes. Student reporter Kara Williams reports.
Hello, I'm Kara Williams for the Morgan News Hour. And for our educational eye-opener, we're talking to Professor Dawkins at Morgan State University. Good evening, Professor Dawkins.
Good evening. Good to see you again.
Same here. I wanted to know your feelings about being mandated to be vaccinated to come back to school, to be able to come back into the building.
Okay. That's an easy one. That's the expectation. That should be assumed. I was double vaccinated back in the spring with the Pfizer vaccine for my hometown, Brooklyn, New York. So I'm ready and raring to go. And I have my masks, so that's fine. We have to get through this pandemic.
So I was in your class last semester, and you know, you had some pretty good projects for us to do, and we couldn't really dive into them because of the pandemic. What do you expect from your students this semester being face-to-face versus being virtual?
I want them to come prepared. I will say that I'm pleased with just the sheer enthusiasm. I could really feel that students were just tired of being cooped up for 17 months. So there's been just a lot of energy, and I want to make sure that energy does not wane or dissipate, or I have anything to do with it. So I'm trying to make sure and stoke that energy, maybe even make it a little hotter. So there's that. I want to say, yes, I was demanding with your class and others, but what I've told the students coming in is that we actually had a good year last year despite the pandemic. And most students were able to push. You know, I'll remind folks, since you're interviewing me, you were one of the four that participated in a project called the She Session about how women, especially black women, were being affected by the pandemic in the workplace. And that ended up being a special report in the Baltimore Afro-American, and the editors liked it so much that they've come back to me to say, can I recruit some of my student journalists to work on another project? So, so we were able to do things, yes, it was harder, but we were able to do it. So now that we're here in person, we're trying to get back to some semblance of normalcy. We're not all the way back. You know, I like being in the classroom with students in the flesh, but I'm still trying to get to know them and we're all masked up. So, but we're kind of, I'd say we're maybe 2/3 of the way back and trying to get back to 100%.
Segueing into that, so you feel really good about being back face-to-face this semester?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I know even the professors felt cooped up as well.
Yes, like I said, you just come into my office and you see some of the unconventional things I do. I couldn't do any of that virtually, but now I can, and students are responding to it. I heard someone on WEEA, an alum, talking about the HBCU experience, how that's special, and this is one of the special things. We can students just come here, just don't come here to get grades. Grades matter, and I'm a stickler for that. But we want to develop the whole person.
Wonderful. Thank you, Professor Dawkins.
Absolutely.
Here's a clip of our afternoon shows in case you missed it.
Baltimore City schools would end up in the news. We had a couple of years ago, it was too cold in the school. We had the babies in jackets. And then we talked about not having heat. And then one time when it opened up with schools, teachers were complaining about rats and then mice and rodents everywhere. We've had these issues, a lack of clean, drinkable water in the school. No bathroom doors, no doors in the bathroom stalls, no clean water to wash their hands, cold lunches, pizza that has mold. Like, these are not new issues in Baltimore City. I think we've hit what I would call the top of the scandals that could come out about this city. This latest one that we've been talking about for the last year with Augusta Fell Savage should be enough to make you understand that Baltimore City is actually moving in the wrong direction. And the question we have to ask ourselves is whether or not Baltimore City parents should file a class action lawsuit against the school system. I want to talk to you about that. I want to continue our conversation from yesterday because I want to layer it a little bit. And I'm going to go ahead and open up the phones early at 410-319-7258. 410-319-7259. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phones because I think we've got to talk about the parents that are being left
for low and moderate income families.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up with a sensibility around ownership, despite all of the federal policies that have been put in place to keep Black people in blighted communities. Mm. And so when you talk about leadership, to Dan's point about disinformation, I think the first part of leadership is making sure that everybody is informed. And so West Baltimore, like New York, like Detroit, like Oakland, like, Atlanta, everywhere there are Black people, there was government policy put in place starting in the 30s,
mm-hmm.
right? That was purposeful. Dan mentions redlining, right? There's government policy that says we will not invest in communities where there are Black people. We will not back mortgages. We will not back loans. We will not provide opportunity for home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so this notion of, displacing people, it's really unfortunate that that's where people start the conversation,
mm-hmm.
because we really should start the conversation with how did we get here in the first place? Who's responsible and who's taking responsibility, even if they aren't responsible for it, right? And so I've been involved with this project since 2008. I grew up, as I said, in Harlem in the South Bronx. I always wanted to make my communities better. I tried to do my first development project in New York City as a 17-year-old when I tried to get a BMX track built in Central Park because I thought the kids in the city should have a place to ride their bikes.
Your sports and entertainment up next. You're listening to the Morgan News Hour on WEAA 88.9 FM. Stay with us.
Now let's take a look at your weather. Tonight, mostly cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing with a low around 59. Friday, sunny with a high near 77. Northwest wind about 8 to 14 miles per hour with gusts as high as 20 miles an hour. Friday night, clear with a low around 58. Saturday, sunny with a high near 81. Saturday night, clear with a low around 64. Sunday, sunny with a high near 87. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 68. Monday, sunny with a high near 90. And that's the look at your weather around the WEAA listening area.
Student reporter David Lance gives us a preview of the NFL season.
The 2021 NFL season begins later tonight as the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers will host the Dallas Cowboys. It is the first NFL season since the COVID-19 outbreak where all 32 teams will fill stadiums to 100% capacity. The NFL has also begun to implement a 17-game season, where previous seasons would end after 16 games. In remembrance of those who lost their lives on 9/11, the New York Giants will honor those people during their opening game against the Denver Broncos this Sunday. Monday night will feature the season opener for the Baltimore Ravens as they travel to Las Vegas to face the Raiders. This is the first regular season game to be played in the Las Vegas Raiders' new stadium as COVID-19 complications delay their move. I'm David Lance, reporting for the Morgan News Hour.
All right, well, this is Dre with your live sports report. Kendra, how you feeling out there?
I'm feeling good. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Tonight is the first game of the NFL season. I know you're excited to have football back.
I'm definitely excited. I'm very excited. I'm excited to see what the Buccaneers look like, you know, the reigning Super Bowl champion.
Now she's a Buccaneers fan. Now, I see her earlier today. She comes in with her Tom Brady jersey.
Yeah, no, she sent me a picture of it. Right. I was like, hold up, I thought you were a Patriots fan. You know? So I take it that you got the Buccaneers winning tonight.
Yes, I definitely do. And then, you know, when Sunday happens, I will gladly throw my Patriots jersey. I went online and I got a Mac Jones jersey, so.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
did you?
Wow.
I did.
So if Tebow was the quarterback, you would have been having a Tebow jersey.
Oh, no, I can't deal with that. I'm just, you know what, I got his jersey because I feel like he shows promise, and I'm hoping that he's what everybody say he is.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck to y'all this season, and I got the Buccaneers winning tonight as well. It's too much right now with the Dallas Cowboys going on, so I think that the Buccaneers win by at least 10.
Now, is Dak playing? Is he starting?
Jones is talking, it's a guarantee that he's going to play.
You know, I just have a question. You know, that's the thing. You just get the quarterback's jersey, nobody else's jersey.
You know what? When it was like, you know what I mean? It was the Patriots dynasty. I still got Rob Gronkowski. I'll rep the old players. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of wide receiver jerseys. I have a Randy Moss jersey. I'll rock those. But opposed to getting any new wide receivers, because you know how the Patriots is. They don't like to pay anybody. So they be out the door before you know it.
Wow. And your jersey's out of date.
Exactly. Okay.
Which I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Patriots got it right. Same thing with the Baltimore Ravens. But speaking of
the Baltimore Ravens.
What's wrong with them?
We are destined.
Injuries.
Yeah, we're cursed or something. I don't know what's going on with us. We done lost J.K. Dobbins mm-hmm. to an ACL, Gus Edwards to an ACL possibly, Justice Hill to an Achilles injury, Marcus Peters to an ACL possibly. L.J. Ford to an ACL, and Rashad Bateman to a groin injury who's on IR, plus Miles Boykin who has a hamstring. Man.
What's going on in minicamp?
I don't know. Sometimes it's just that year. Like last year, the 49ers, they were decimated with injuries. Mm. So it's possible for that to happen. I don't know. That's why I'm saying I'm leaning towards the Ravens getting upset on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's not looking good right now.
And especially, like, that's like a dagger for me. Marcus Peters is a dagger. But also, when you think about the running backs, everybody was like, okay, DK Dobbins went down. At least we got Gus Edwards. But now you don't have neither one of them. It's just tough. It's really tough. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Lamar Jackson to run the ball. Because without him, there is no run game right now.
And that's if he plays.
He'll play. Lamar,
you know me. Bell is on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's gonna probably be like how Dez Bryant was practice squad. They'll put him in, and they'll see. But I'm not sold on that either. Right. Like Kendra was saying, I mean, we lost basically our two good running backs, Le'Veon Bell. I don't know how he's gonna fit in with the Ravens offense. So it'll be interesting to see, and good luck to the Ravens this year. But at least the first six games, it'll be a struggle with these injuries.
Mm-hmm. Tough, very tough.
Well,
and even Rashad Bateman is just like, he was supposed to be one of the guys that you look for, like his crisp route running abilities. I know I've seen him in minicamp, and his chemistry with Lamar Jackson was sensational. So it's going to be tough. Like, it's really tough. And then you're stretching thin at wide receiver. I know you got Sammy Watkins, but I'm not really going to be surprised if that doesn't turn out very well.
Yeah, I wasn't never sold on the Sammy Watkins signing either.
Mm-hmm.
But
because when I looked at his career, his highest total for a season is 7 touchdowns.
Exactly.
Really?
That's his highest. Yeah. He's not even in his prime right now. So it's just like, it's just a lot.
Yeah, it was a reach when Ravens fans were saying that this was a good sign. I was like, come on, dog. Y'all know this is a basic signing.
So how are the Raiders looking?
Honestly, I don't think that the Raiders are looking all that either. I think that this is a make or break year for both Mike Mayock and John Gruden.
Gruden, I was gonna say,
I know Gruden has that.
He robbed the bank.
Yeah, and he kind of has given the benefit of time because of the extent of his contract, and I think he's only in the fourth year of that contract.
Isn't he like part owner or something? Didn't he like some?
So they gave him the bag.
The whole bag.
They gave him a U-Haul.
U-Haul.
So I know everybody keeps saying it's a make or break season for him, but I don't see him getting fired. I'll say if anything, the seat, if they don't make the playoffs this year, the seat will start getting warm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Lukewarm, though. It ain't gonna be like, you know, with that hot and warm. You know, like when men take a shower with a woman, we don't like it too hot. Just a little bit. Speaking of football, though, I mean, we're in the Ravens division. TJ Watt, he gets paid $112 million, signing a four-year deal and becoming the NFL's highest-paid defensive player. NFL pass rusher, highest-paid pass rusher right now.
Is he with Pittsburgh?
Mm. Pittsburgh.
Yes. Okay, that's what I thought. There's like three brothers, right? I'm trying to get to.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Okay.
The Watt brothers. Wow. The Watt brothers are paid.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm.
Right.
That's a family of wealth.
Mm-hmm. Generational, right? It's a family right there.
So yeah, we got the Ball family in basketball, we got the Watt family and the Manning family in football.
Right.
I think that was a great signing. I mean, when you think about the Steelers defense, he's one of the main problems for the offensive line if you're looking to play them. It's him, so I feel like they made the right decision in paying him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they had to. Especially because that's all Pittsburgh really got at this moment is the defense, the offense.
Right.
Exactly.
And our last story that we wanted to talk about was Stephen A. actually did an interview, and he opened up about Max Kellerman's departure from First Take.
Hmm.
And Stephen A. admitted he wanted Max Kellerman gone from First Take.
Ooh.
Really?
Yeah.
Sheesh. Ooh. So grimy.
I know. They are dirty.
Listen, I told y'all they had an outside source because the New York Post was talking about that. Like how he didn't want him to be there anymore. So I'm like, oh, they must be leaking stuff to them. They must be leaking stuff to ESPN.
Stephen A. is probably leaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Talking.
Right.
You know what they always say, if you don't want anything out, somebody's leaking stuff out because mm-hmm. they want it put
right.
out.
They want it out. Uh-huh.
That's what I said. I think Stephen A. wanted it out there. You know, float it at least.
It'll be interesting. They did have Michael Irvin. I didn't catch the other people on First Take this week, but I'm curious to see how the new direction of the show will go.
I think that's gonna backfire on them.
I think so too.
Yeah. That's just dirty.
That's nasty. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. That's very nasty.
And he doesn't have, I don't think, he has what they call a high Q rating either. That means that, you know, they do a study on mm-hmm. anchors and mm-hmm. things like that. I don't think his rating that high.
You know? Yeah, I mean, ever since him and Skip honestly departed ways from mm-hmm. The show hasn't been the same, right. But the ESPN is holding on to mm-hmm. First Take for some reason.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that they didn't want to pay Skip? That's why he originally left to go to Fox. Mm-hmm. Then they tried to get him back?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They did. It's true. Wow. They did try to get him back. And Skip, if I'm Skip Bayless, I'm in L.A. right now.
Chilling. Right.
You know, I'm good. But speaking of good, let's go to Hollywood with the superstar herself.
Oh, no, you got all the superstar rap. But thank you so much, Dre. Thanks, Kendra. And here's what's trending in your entertainment. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade will return to the streets of New York City this year with COVID protocols. The November 25th parade will broadcast on NBC and feature the traditional giant balloons, celebrity performers, and marching bands. Last year, Macy's presented a curtailed version of the parade with balloons and performers confined to an area near the retailer's flagship Manhattan store. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said, "They're thrilled to welcome back the Macy's Parade in its full form, celebrating the magic of being in New York City during the holiday season. Parade staff members and volunteers will have to show proof of COVID vaccination. Face coverings will be required, with some exceptions for singers and other performers."
Didn't Morgan perform last year?
Yes, Morgan did perform last year.
I think they should be invited back.
They should
back,
be invited right? back. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think so people can actually see them.
Right.
Okay. So ESPN has a new music curator for Monday Night Football. Rapper Drake has signed on to curate 10 Monday Night Football games, and some of the music is set to include hits from his new album, Certified Lover Boy, some of his classic tracks, and other songs of Drake's choosing. Amika Ofadial, the Vice President of Sports Marketing at ESPN, says they couldn't be more excited for the collaboration with Drake, and that the music curator role has been a big hit for fans with Diplo and DJ Khaled in previous years. The NFL has canceled the appearance of Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter Victory Boyd. Apparently, Boyd was set to perform the national anthem at the season opener in Tampa Bay, Florida tonight. But however, the league canceled the performance because the singer allegedly declined the COVID vaccine, citing religious reasons. So the NFL game day field access policy requires all individuals accessing the playing field and surrounding sideline areas within the stadium bowl to be fully vaccinated. The 27-year-old inspirational singer is signed to Roc Nation, and she's performed the national anthem at NFL games two previous times.
Teams don't have to be fully vaccinated, but they want people around the stadium to be
fully vaccinated. Yeah.
And the singer's not vaccinated.
at all. So I think that's interesting on two coins because she's apparently signed to Roc Nation. Roc Nation hosts concerts, and they just recently had the Made in America Festival in Philadelphia, and they said that all concert goers had to be fully vaccinated and had to show their vaccination cards so people wouldn't get, so they wouldn't be spreading the virus through the artists performing.
Right.
But they have an artist, their own artist, is not even vaccinated and doesn't want to get vaccinated. You know, religious reasons. Okay, we get it. But then the NFL as well, you're saying that people on the field have to be vaccinated when some of your players aren't even vaccinated and it's not a requirement.
Right. Yeah, I went to a Meriwether Post Pavilion over the weekend, and we had to bring our vaccination cards to show proof to get in.
Yeah, like when you go to these big events now, these big arenas, you have to now show proof. So I think it, I mean, the NFL, they, I mean, it's their company, it's their rules. They can do whatever they want to when it comes to this point. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, they can do whatever they want, yes, but to have someone to be required to come and perform, to have someone to be required to come perform, you know, they have to have that vaccination. You know, I think, yes, do that, but also make sure you have the same rules within your organization. Mm-hmm. If people, you want people on the field to be vaccinated, that, that goes for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You have some entertainment news?
I do. I heard this morning. The vehicle that Tupac Shakur was shot and killed in is now up for sale. They're reporting that the 1996 BMW that Suge Knight was driving in Las Vegas that night is going to be sold at some point for $1.7 million. The car, which has been fully restored to its original condition, is on display at the Celebrity Cars Las Vegas showroom.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would. That's like a dead man's car.
Right. that's kind of creepy.
It's creepy. I don't know if I would buy that.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, if you're interested, if you, if, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's a nice car.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's a BMW. I'm pretty sure it's an excellent car, but I don't know if I would purchase it.
Right. And then there was a story about the FTC and the McDonald's
ice cream machine. Every time you go to McDonald's, the ice cream machines are always down. So now they have a lawsuit,
Yes, reporting that the FTC reached out to McDonald's restaurants seeking information on what exactly is going on with the broken ice cream machine.
Because we want our McFlurries.
We got the government.
The government, checking with McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like, you come out with new sweetie meals and all this other stuff, but we can't get no McFlurry.
Right.
Thank you, Randy. That was good.
All right. We want to thank you all for joining us today on the Morgan News Hour. I'm Randy Reed.
I'm Demi Goff. Up next is In the Groove with Lolo. Thank you for joining us. Have a good night.
Our production tonight was brought to you by the students in the School of Global Journalism and Communication right here at Morgan State University. In our learning lab here at the studios of WEAA 88.9 FM, led by Dean Jacqueline Jones and station manager Robert Shahid. Thank you to our student reporters, Devontae Berry, Kaisha Hancock, Chardonnay Jackson, Jasmine Johnson, Rochelle Keaton, David Lance, Gabriel Ortiz, Kendra Pugh, Carol Williams, and an extra special thanks to Andre Melton for operating the board tonight.